Eric Bess.
Pusik Alice. Yeah, Oz Yakil Shoma is a case of his Korosh Yamatas and Messiah, Avos, with Neisra, Melok Shomi, Yerushalayim, Alos, Aram Brit Hashem, Yer David Yitzion. So Shoma decided to gather together all the elders of Neisra, all the heads of the tribes, right, and his princes of the Avos of Neisra, to Shlomo HaMelech in Yerushalayim to bring up the Aram Brit Hashem from Yer David Yitzion. Now, obviously, it wasn't far away. Yer David is right now where Silwan is, right? So we're talking to the. Oh, I always mess up when it comes to this. West, south, east, north, south. That's correct. The south of the old city nowadays, outside of the Sharash boat, right? And they said they wanted to bring up the Aron Kodesh from that place into the new Beis Hamikdash. So, Pasuk Beis, you call Melech Shlomo Kol Yisrael B'Yarafai Tzenei B'Chog. So, they gathered the king of Israel, all of Bnei Israel, in the Yarafai Tzenei. The Yarafai Tzenei is the month that's known for the Avos. Now, the reason why is because it's Tishrei. Some say it's because the days are mighty, that there are many mitzvahs to be done during these days. Others say it's because the Avos were born during these days, but that happens to be my focus, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yoshua. Either way, that's that. The Chag Hu HaKodesh HaShvi, around the time of Sukkot, which is in the seventh month, okay? And around the time of the harvest, when the crops are stored and everything's out there, and that's the idea behind it. So they decided to go at around Sukkot time, and that's what it was. Chazal tell us that really the Aron Kodesh and everything was ready, everything. The Beis HaMikdash is ready from Mar Cheshvan of the previous year. But Shlomo Melech had within his Nevuah a vision that he should wait until Tishrei, that he should not build, have the Beis HaMikdash completely built until the times of Tishrei. So that's what he had inside his head itself. Pasuk Gimel. So all the Ziknei Yisrael came, and the Kohanim carried the Aron Kodesh. Again, this was not normal. The Kohanim only carried the Aron Kodesh three times altogether. Normally, in the Midbar was the Bnei Kahas that carried it, right? Others, I mean, we said that the time that normally that where this happened was the Kohanim carried it when they crossed over the Jordan River. The Kohanim carried it when they went outside the city of Jericho and they surrounded it seven times, right? And then the Kohanim carried it when they brought the Aron to Yerushalayim in the time of David HaMelech. So really, this should be a fourth time, but it could be it's just a continuation of the third time when David HaMelech brought it to Yerushalayim. He wasn't able to bring it to the actual Makom HaMikdash, so therefore this is the continuation, and that's why the Kohanim did it over here. They brought up all the Kalim of the Mishkan. They brought up the Kohanim and the Levim. So the Kohanim were the ones that carried the Aron, but the Levim were the ones that carried everything else. And there was other stuff over here as well. And we do say over here that most of the stuff of the Mishkan, as we said before, was put in storage rooms. Those were the extra rooms that were inside the Beis HaMikdash, right outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Those storage rooms were the places where all these places happened. Now, we did say that it's likely that it was very, very, very far down, and that they were never, that they lost, so to speak, the plans on how to get there, so that to make sure that when this stuff was taken away, the Mishkan was never destroyed. So the King Shlomo and all the Israel that were gathered to him in front of their own Kodesh, they started shechting sheep and cattle. You couldn't even count them from how many there were. And the Kohanim brought the Aron Bris Hashem to its place, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kodesh HaKadosh Maltachas Kansei HaKruvim, underneath the wings of the Kruvim. Remember, these are the Kruvim that Shlomo Melech made. They spread out their wings toward the place of the Aron Kodesh. So cool. We spoke about that. There was a bit of a kasha. There was a bit of a kasha. The only thing that we know is that Shlomo Melech wasn't Navi. That's number one. It could be that he understood that there was another need, because the original Kruvim were for Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that these were a need for all of Klal Yisrael too. Could be it was more of a reference, something they could take out for Klal Yisrael. They could take out those Kruvim and show them to Bnei Yisrael, but we don't know. We don't have an answer to the question. We don't have
the strange wording of an abundant number. Like, too much to be counted, basically. Why would the Torah have to say that? It couldn't just say a lot, or it couldn't give a number. Like, it's a weird.
You ask in the Chumash on a question like that. In Navi, sometimes for poetic license, that's sometimes what they do. So that I don't ask on, but it could be there's an answer for it, and I just don't know. V'yasoku ha'kruvim ala arba abadim amala. And the kruvim protected, so to speak. Their wings went over the aron and over the poles up above. Okay, so that was that altogether. What else over here? over here. Okay, so when the Kohanim brought this in, the doors of the Beis HaMikdash were stuck together and they wouldn't open, right? So that's when Shlomo HaMelech called out loud the famous Mizmor Chav Davin, the David Mizmor, Lashem Aretz Malola Tevo V'Yoshev etc., right? And that's where the famous line of Shlomo HaMelech was, Mi Zem Melech HaKavod, right? Mi Zem Melech HaKavod, that, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the wording. Shlomo HaMelech said, V'Yavo Melech HaKavod, let the honorable king come in. So the Malachim called out loud and said, Mi Zem Melech HaKavod, who is this Melech HaKavod that you speak of? Are you talking about yourself as a Melech HaKavod? He's like, no, Hashem, he's Uzi Gibor, right? He's the one, Hashem Yishmokama, he's the Melech HaKavod. And that's how David Melech, that's how Shlomo HaMelech answered. But notice, it starts off with David Mizmor. Shlomo HaMelech wasn't answered. After he sang all the praise in the world and brought 1,000 olas in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wasn't answered until he mentioned David HaMelech's name. That's when the doors opened. And then anybody who thought that David HaMelech was still a Rasha, that he had done something wrong, their faces blackened in embarrassment because they realized that they were 100% wrong, that David HaMelech was right, because it only went...
So Shlomo wrote that actual
tale? I don't... He couldn't be, because David HaMelech had already written it. But that must have been a nevuah of David HaMelech for what Shlomo HaMelech would say when they were coming into the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what it was over here. There is a medrash that's brought down. It's actually brought in three different places in the Gemara Yuma, that at the moment that the Aron Kodesh was put inside the Beis HaMikdash, at that moment, the trees outside the Beis HaMikdash, which were made of gold, they were not real trees, they were golden trees, gave forth golden fruit. So, we say, if your father ever says your money growing trees, you're like, yeah, certain times. There were.
But doesn't that, is it not that he built the golden tree? Or
it does not mention it over here. It's Gemara and Yuma in three different places.
That it was growing, or that it
growed? It's called Zohav Kravim. And the reason why is because they were Marbe Kipiros. That's what it says. So that's the idea behind it. It says over here, blossom and bear fruits. The fruit was given to the young priests as a special blessing. Okay, by recall, the poles extended and they were seen from the Kodesh Alpnei Advir, meaning you could see it in the actual Kodesh itself, right? But they were not seen from the outside. They're there up until this day. There's a big question about that as well. First of all, the problem is that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim there was a lot of room. In the Kodesh, maybe there wasn't that much room, so the poles were sticking out, so they stuck out through the Parochas. That made a lot of sense. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it was 20 by 20 amos, so there's no question there was enough room for the Aron Kodesh to be there. Nonetheless, the poles may have been arranged that they would stick out anyway, or it could have been that they pulled out and that it was an actual P-U-L-L-E-D. I didn't mean to make that as like a P-O-L. But either way, but they pulled out a little bit to be all out there, and that they could, maybe they were even able to slide back and forth. They just couldn't be removed, but somehow they were there to be right there. So meaning they stuck into the parochas and they looked like Dadei HaIsha. And then the reference, when Shlomo HaMelech mentions in Shir HaShirim to the Dadei HaIsha, is a reference to the poles of the base of the Aron Kodesh.
Then how would the Kohen Gadol walk through? He wouldn't have a room to walk when on Yom Kippur to go through the...
He didn't have to go that far. You only have to go up until that area and opposite where the Aron Kodesh was. You have to put down
the Torah. There's the double curtain. You've got to walk through in order to come into there.
You're thinking second base of Mikdash. What? You're thinking second base of Mikdash when there was the Amatrux.
There's only that door there, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So that would have been only one. It could be also that the poles were what's it called? Were 20 cubits long. There is an opinion that says that there were no parochas here, that there was doors outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that somehow the poles appeared through the doors. Understand. Obviously, this is an extremely complicated pasuk. There is nothing in the Aron except for the two luchos avanim, asher hinach shom Moshe b'chol rev, that Moshe had put there on Har Sinai, asher karz Hashem min b'nei Yisrael b'tetz Mitzrayim, that God had made with his bris with b'nei Yisrael when they had left Mitzrayim. Now, clearly, because it says ein ba'aron rak, that exclusion really leads to an inclusion. Ein miut el akar miut el l'rabos. That if you have two mutim like that, then it obviously is coming to include. What else is it coming to include? So that's what we said. The Argies of the Plishtim, the Sefer Torah written by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tzinsenes Haman, the Makil, the Mate, I'm sorry, what Aaron had that had the Shkedim that came from it, right?
This kind of wording, it seems to be including a lot of things.
It's unbelievable, right?
But that's coming to exclude them at that point.
Meaning, there was nothing, but there was other stuff. It's the same thing as Habor Reik in Bomayim. it's very similar to the same type of concept, where an exclusion obviously is including something, and maybe even more than that.
There has to be meaning to the fact that it's specifically saying only the Shnei Luchot are included as opposed to everything.
I think the shot behind why it specifically mentions it that way is to tell you the chashivas of the Luchos. So really, there wasn't really for there to be anything else aside from the Luchos themselves. Nonetheless, this other stuff was put there as simanim for Klal Yisrael. Also, the broken Luchos. I mean, that's Machlokas, where the broken Luchos were. Remember, we spoke about this before. Was there another Arun Kodesh where they put, you know, the Arun Kodesh made by Moshe Rabbeinu, the wooden Arun Kodesh, was that the one where they put the broken Luchos into? That's a bit of a kasha.
And there's another Arun Kodesh, all this stuff.
The Gemara in Babasar clearly states that there were other things in the Arun Kodesh itself, and not only that, it mentions what the how much room there was in the Arun Kodesh and what the room was for everything else. Plus, there was a little dot that stuck on the side. Okay. In Pasuk Yud, Vayibetzitz Kohanim in a Kodesh Va'anan Malei Es Beis Hashem. When the Kohanim left the Kodesh after they had put the Kodesh, you know, the Arun down, the Anan filled up the house of the Beis Hamikdash. Lo Yochlo Kohanim Lamed L'Sharis of Bnei Anan. They weren't able to stand there to be Mesharis because of the cloud. Now the glory of God had filled up the Beis Hashem. Now in the times of the Mishkan, that happened as well. Moshe Rabbeinu was still able to get through, but now none. Altomer Shlomo Hashem Amar Lishkon Barafel says, Shlomo Melech Hashem said he will live in that darkness and he will always be clouded that way. Is the famous pasuk. But I have built a dwelling place for your Shechina, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, established for your dwelling place forever. That's the idea behind what was going to be. Olamim is a very strange word. Maybe the past, maybe the future. What was in the past or in the future itself. But either way, regardless, one thing that we learn lahalacha from this pasuk is that no longer can we use bamos. At no point will bamos ever be used from that point forward. The Beis HaMikdash was now the chosen place for korbanos. Whether there was going to be a Beis HaMikdash or not, bamos were never going to be used again. By the way, as a side note, Eliyahu HaNavi built a bamos. So I shouldn't say ever again. It could be used individually for a certain reason, but it shouldn't be used as a... Exactly. It couldn't be used permanently. The king then turned his face and he blessed Kal Yisrael, and the Kal Yisrael was standing the entire time. There's a kasha, what exactly bracha he said. Some say it's referring to the bracha that's going to be mentioned later on. Others say that it is another bracha that the Torah does not put down, the Tanakh does not put down. Said, blessed be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of Israel, spoke with his mouth to David my father, saying, fulfilled it with his hand, saying, I have never yet chosen a city from all the tribes of Israel to build my Beis HaMikdash there. Notice, it's been 480 years since we left Mitzrayim, 440 years since we've been in Eretz Yisrael. Not once have we chosen a city. Not once has Yerushalayim ever been mentioned. Yerushalayim is not mentioned anywhere in all the Torah, in all of Yoshua, and all of, I mean, it's mentioned Yoshua as a side note, but a city that they captured from the Yevusim. But not as a city of the Beis HaMikdash, as a holy place. Throughout the Shoftim, throughout Shmuel Aleph, throughout Shmuel Beis, Yerushalayim is not mentioned. It's not mentioned. The only time it's mentioned when David Melech bought the area from Arvani Yevusim, it says this is going to be the spot. Because they never knew where. They were never sure where. But the HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to David Melech. There were illusions, but there were never any clear indications. And remember, Shaul Melech Paskin, it was supposed to be in Givo. That's where Shaul Melech Paskin, it was supposed to be in Givon, and that was the area. So that was where it was supposed to be. Shmuel and Avi disagreed, but nonetheless, that's what Shaul Melech Paskin. But he, in Levav,
be after Shmuel and Avi. How does Shaul decide it's in Givon? He said the place that I will in the Torah that I will decide. So wouldn't an Avi be the one to relate to the people?
Shaul Melech was also an Avi. Remember, he Shaul? Also yeah Shaul Melech. But that was all the Agam Shaul Baradim. He became an Avi as well. So Kasha was he able to understand something? But regardless, this had nothing to do with Nebu. This had to do with a psak halacha. Where were they going to pass?
What God will decide? It's got to be
a makom asher asher. What's the word? Asher. It's a word specifically. Epkar. No. Asher. Something l'shaken shmi, but I forgot what it is. But it's not asher epkar l'shaken shmi. It's something like that.
Huh?
What's the wording over here? No, it's not there. It's based on a pasuk in Truma, which is Kehu Asher Na'ani Maret Uzcha. Right? No, that I know. Kehu Asher Na'ani Maret Uzcha. Eitz Tavnis Mishkam Yat Tavnis Kol Kilov. But what exactly that pasuk is, I'm not positive. All right. By the way, Vayim Levav David Avi Livnos Bayis Hashem Hashem Elokei Yisrael. My father David Melch wanted to build a base mikdash for Hashem. Then Hashem told David Avi, Hashem said to David, my father, Yanasher Hayom Levav Kol Livnos Bayis Hashem Yativosa. It's good. Kiyayim Levavacha. That was a nice thing for you to have in your heart. Rakatolos did not bias, but you cannot build the base mikdash. Came Bincha Yotim Echalotefu. You've not bias Hashemi. Rather, your child who will come from your loins, he will build the base mikdash for my name. He's the one to carry it to completion. Nobody else is going to do it. Yanam Achshava Tovim. Achshava Tovim is mitzvah for lamaisa. That counts as a maisa. It's as if you did it, David Melech, but you didn't actually do it. But Yaakov Hashem is the Rosh Yerdiber. God set up the word that He had spoken to David Melech. Akum Kas David Avi. He allowed me to be here instead of my father. By Yishav Alkisi, so I sit in the throne of Israel. Kashmir Bar Hashem. And now, by Hashem Hashem Olkei Yisrael, and I built up the base of Mikdash. Vosim Sham Makom Aaron Asher Sham Brit Hashem Shegrasi Demalsenu Vosios Amir Tzitzrayim. And I placed there a place for the Aaron to be, right, who He had made with His fathers, whatever, when we were taken out of Mitzrayim. Pasuk Chaf Beis. Shlomo's name is Bach Hashem Negi Kol Kal Yisrael Yivros Kapa of Hashemayim. Shlomo stood in front of the Mizbeach of Hashem opposite all Bnei Yisrael, and he spread out his hands toward the heavens. Now this was similar to Birchas Kohanim. Remember, nowadays we do Birchas Kohanim this way, right? Standing in front like that. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they went this way. The way it was supposed to look that way, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They lifted their hands straight up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu rather than toward Bnei Yisrael. We don't do it outside the Beis
HaMikdash. Why would you bless God?
No, it's not blessing. It's not blessing. It's allowing the Shefa to come down. It's not like they're facing the people.
A blessing with an open hand and like this. And we're praying to God to go like this because we want God to bring it into our
hands. That is correct. The Shefa that we do with the Kustaf of Gadach.
You want to go on to...
I can't tell you an exact amount, but the halacha is that when they did the Birchas Kohanim, it wasn't blessing God, nor were they blessing. They were allowing the Shefa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go down through their hands onto the people, which is one of the reasons why you couldn't look at the hands of the Kohanim. You're technically allowed to look at the Kohanim's hands nowadays. Technically. The reason why we don't is because we need to concentrate on the words, and if you look at the Kohanim's hands, you might not concentrate on what they're saying, which is the reason why we don't look. But the Gemara brings down that there are three things you're not also... That's one of the reasons why they cover up with the towels as well. But you can see their hands. Sometimes it sticks out from the towels itself. But we don't look at it because of the concentration. But in terms of the Beis Mikdash, you weren't allowed to look. That's when you went blind, and the reason why is because the Shekhinah was right there. That's why it's compared to the other two things that are there. You're not allowed to look at a rainbow. Why the rainbow? Because that's supposed to be the bris of the Shekhinah, not to destroy the rest of the world. I'm sorry?
So then don't we have a blessing?
You're not supposed to stare.
Oh.
You can take a look and then go back. And so too with Berachos Kohanim. Take a look and go back. But you're not allowed to stare. Hisakyo is the wording in the Gemara. I'm forgetting where it is. Sota Lamedalis, Lamedekimor, somewhere around there.
I'm going to
share
with somebody. The Herschel Schefter held that you should be looking at the Kohanim thing.
Should be looking?
This is what I was told. Do you know anything about that?
But it could be. There's nothing against it.
It's
kind of like a
less than staring. It's looking. It's not glance upon glance. It's like, yeah, he's talking and Lahabiz.
Lahabiz is looking more so.
I don't think so, no?
I don't know. All I remember is, remember the wording.
Lahabiz seems like you're mesmerized by it. You're staring at it.
There's a wording that we used. It was somewhere in the Shoftim where it used the word of Roet, Sofa, and something like that. And he's back ill. I just don't remember which one it was which. No, but that's that. But that's what he's like. First couple of Shemayim, he lifted up his hands as if Birchas Kohanim. Bayoma, and he said to Bnei Yisrael, Shema Lokei Yisrael, Inkam Ochol Elokim, Vashemayim Yavol Arsi Tocha, Shomer Abizra Chesla Vadecha Lo Olchem Lepnecha Bechol Libam. God of Israel, there is none like you in the heavens above and the earth below, who keeps his bris and the chesed to your servants, who go in front of you with all of their heart. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Shere Shemar Kol Atachol Yadav Dav Yisrael, Shere Shemar Kol Lovet Yavar Vifichol Vyadchom Yilesa Kayom Hazeh. You've done everything for David Melech. Ve'atah Shema Lokei Yisrael, Shmor La'avdechol Yadav Dav keep for David HaMelech that which you spoke to him, saying, you will not be lost, you will not be cut off from one man, that will sit on the throne of Israel. Rak im yishmu benechas darkim, as long as your children keep their ways. Lechus l'vanai, go in front of me, kashur alach l'vanai, the same way you did. That's all he saw. Ye amen na dvorcha shuri bar kolat v'chal devi davi. Keep the word that you gave over to David HaMelech. Ki ha'umnam yeshav alim ala oriz yinei ha'shamayim v'shamayim v'shamayim lo yichal gluchav ki ha'bayis ha'zah ha'shav nisa. Because does Hashem really dwell on earth? Obviously the shamayim and the heavens above the heavens are not enough to be able to support you. Right? For sure not this house. It's clear that this is not a house for you to live in. Phenisel tefils abtechov el-tukhin, that's why Hashem alakei lishmo al-arina vel-tefila. You should turn to the zeal of your servant, right, into his supplication, Hashem, my God, to listen to the song and to the tefila shor abtechov yisbalo l'fenech ha-yom that I'm giving over to you today. He says over here, the Miyamalei, and I'm not so sure why he says it over here and not anywhere else, but he says, you need physical experience sometimes, and obviously even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited to any dimensions whatsoever, nonetheless, we feel like we need a place to daven to or to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the biggest problems in the times of the first Beis Hamikdash is that we didn't feel, if we weren't by the Beis Hamikdash, we didn't have a place to go where we could represent this is where God is. We didn't have a holy spot, so to speak. Shoals were not created yet. They were Batei Midrashim, but there was no special thing about a Beis Hamikdash other than the fact that there was Sifrei Torah there, but they didn't consider that special. The Kiddushas Beis HaKnesses was created by the Anshei Knesset Gedolah in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash so that they would have a Makom Kiddusha, a Mikdash Ma'at, so to speak, for them to be able to be there, and that's something that we need. Rina is crying out, whether for joy or for pain, and when davening, sometimes you need to do both. Crying out in joy and pain at the same time. Pasuk Chaf Tes Leos, your eyes should be open on this Beis HaMikdash, Laila V'yom, night and day, Makom Asher Amarti Yashmi Sham, to the place that you say, my name will be there, L'shmo La Tefillah Shri Yispal Avdechal Makom Azeh, to listen to the Tefillah that your servants will daven in this place. Hashmat Al Tefillah Avdechal Amachal Yisrael Shri Yispal Makom Azeh, V'yat Tzishma Makom Shiftar Al Hashmai V'shmat V'salachta. You will listen to the supplication of your servant and your people Israel, that they will daven you in this place, and you will hear, right, in the place of your dwelling, in the heavens, you will hear, and you will forgive. Okay, that's that over there. There are three different types of prayer that he mentions over here. Rina is crying out, Tefillah is prayer, Tchina is supplication. Crying out we already went into. Tefillah is specifically for requests, sometimes used as a general term for prayer. Tchina is a supplication asking for a favor or a free gift. That's the idea behind it. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. If a person sins against his fellow man and he curses him, right, or he puts on a curse on him, then the curse should come before you in front of this altar, right, and it should be forgiven in front of you whatsoever. Now, what is that referring to? It's possible that it's referring to the Allah of a Sota, right, because a Sota is brought in front of the Mizbeach and everything is done in front of there, and that's what it refers to over here. So we're referring to, if a person sins against another person, meaning referring to adultery. If a man sleeps with another man's wife, then the woman should be brought in front of this area, and the Allah should be put upon him, upon her, right in that area. Now listen to what he says over here. May you listen from the heavens, and you should do your judgment on your servants to give evil to the Rasha, to make his way, put his way upon his head, and to give tzidkus to a tzaddik, to give him what he is, you know, what he has done and according to his righteousness. Meaning, I don't want there to be anything bad that happens to a good person or anything good that happens to a bad person. If they deserve it and they come in front of your Beis HaMikdash, let them be punished accordingly or rewarded accordingly, according to what happens. In other words, allow your midas ha-din to apply in the Beis HaMikdash more than anything else. And that's true by the Sota. By the Sota, there is no greater midas ha-din than you go to the Beis HaMikdash. If you're guilty, you die. You get blown up and that's that. Now, granted,
how does it manifest itself in other ways? Like somebody goes to the Kodesh Kedashim when they're not called.
Well, they can't go to the Kodesh Kedashim at all. That would be a sin in and of itself, right? So that would be there. Even the Kodesh, that would be a sin for a czar to be able to go into, so they'd be killed automatically.
I don't understand that.
I'm sorry. No,
but that is because it's
a no, but if somebody's not a Kohen and walks into the Kodesh, lightning strikes and he dies?
That's a good question. We don't know. There are only three situations where we bring up this story in the Gemaras, and two of them died seemingly on the spot. They pulled out that Kohen who was a Tzeduki, right? And that's that. That was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that was a Kohen. A Kohen Gadol, nonetheless. That was that.
In the second Beis HaMikdash, a non-Kohen Gadol went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim and died?
Yeah.
But they didn't have open miracles in the second Beis HaMikdash.
See, that's the problem. It's possible that he died later on, but it seems that the Gemara seems to say that they pulled him out. So that means he died.
Right.
He was the one that was killed. There is another, I mean, obviously we know Nadav and Avihu. So we say Nadav and Avihu went in and died, and that was pure Minas Adin, but that also was on the day of the Beis Hamikdash's consecration, the Mishkan's consecration. The third story is possible. We don't know exactly, but it's the story with what's his name? With Titus. Where Titus went inside the Beis Hamikdash and he sinned with the Zona on the Kodesh
HaKadoshim. Yeah, on the spot. Later on.
No, he died later on. He was clearly punished after that. But we don't know anything else. We don't know any other stories of a person that went into that area, you know, and expected to be
now
killed.
We have cases, is this in the Gemara, or where all the Yavani Kohen Gadol, they went to the Kodesh HaKadosh?
The Yavani meeting.
Yeah.
So we don't know what happened to them.
No.
We don't actually know that they went in. See, that's the problem. We don't have any exact details. All right, anyway, but Pasuk Lamed Gimel. When your people, Bnei Yisrael, are smitten in front of their enemies, because they have sinned to you, they should do tshuva, they will thank your name, they will daven and supplicate to you in this basement. Then you should listen in the heavens, and you should forgive the sins of your people, Israel. You should return them back to their father's area. And then when there's no rain, because they have sinned to you, they daven in this place, and they thank your name, or they admit that you're your God. And when they return from their sins, then you should answer them. You should hear from the heavens, you should forgive the sins of your servants, because you will lead them upon the good path that they will go on. And you will give rain upon your land that you have given to them as an inheritance. So in other words, this is specifically forgive them quickly when it comes to rain, because you don't want that to be bad. Could be that he remembered the hunger that happened in the times of his father David HaMelech. Remember, for 3 years there was no rain. David HaMelech kept davening, whatever it was. Rain is absolutely terrible for everybody. When there's a hunger in the land, whenever there's a hunger, whenever there's a plague, whenever shidafon yirarkon is wind or rot, right, locusts or other insects, when there's any enemies that are surrounding them, sieging them around their gates, any type of plague or any type of disease, when there's anything like that, all tefillos and all tchinas that will be for your people, for all of your people Israel, each person will know the affliction of his own heart. He will spread out his hands to this house. Because you know the hearts of all the people there. You've given over to everybody else. So that's Kedusha Davin. Wherever this is, you should have unlimited mercy, and you should allow them to be listened to and everything like that. And even the non-Jews, the people that are not among Bnei Yisrael, they come from a faraway land in order to sacrifice to your name, because they heard about your greatness, your strong hand is rock under your outstretched arm. They come and they daven in this house. Then you should listen, and you should do everything that the guy asks you to do. That all the other nations of the world will know your name, and they'll fear you like Bnei Yisrael. And that they know your name is on this or anything else. It's better for non-Jews than it is for Jews. By Jews, he's asking, whatever, you should listen eventually, etc. By the goyim, it's do whatever they ask for. Because he knows that if a non-Jew goes out and asks for something and doesn't get it, then the non-Jew says, then this God is worth nothing. But if a Jew asks for it and doesn't get it, then he knows, okay, so I didn't deserve it. So he said, for the non-Jews, give it to them immediately. For the Jews, if you feel they need it, then go ahead and give it to them. That's the line. Whatever he asks for, give it to him, says Shlomo, give it to him immediately. That's what he begs HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. He's evolved as a Jew in this world? What's the point?
No, because he won't listen otherwise. A non-Jew is so fickle that he'll think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be like, oh, he's not answering my prayers, forget it, he's a nobody.
That's like a generalization, maybe, especially in those days where non-Jews were mostly pagans.
I would assume so. Yeah, I would assume so.
Where did we transition from Shlomo, quote unquote, blessing the people?
I think it's all the prayer, the blessing of the people.
No, but this is directed more towards God, telling him, you know.
I don't know. It sounds like it's one big bracha.
It does, but it seems like it's transition from, listen, everybody, this is the house.
And the tefillah, etc. I don't know. I don't know when it transitioned. I don't think there was a transition. I feel like it was always, it always was in the wording of a tefillah.
Yeah, but this doesn't seem like it's meant for the people.
Then maybe right now, because up until now, it's every prayer and supplication the man should have, it should be listened to. And now it says, but the non-Jews. But now, no, because it's going right back to Menei. So look at Pasuk Mem Dalet. When your people go out to war on their enemy, on whatever road you send them, they dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu toward the city that you have chosen. Now, we already learned this from Daniel, that you have to dive in toward Yerushalayim. But over here, we're learning it as well. You have to dive in toward the city that you have chosen. You have to dive in toward Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim, toward the base of Israel that was chosen. Shemayim should hear their tefillos and their tchinas. You should do their mishpat. Kiach tulach, when they sin against you, there is no man that has not sinned. Vanaftabam, and you deal angrily with them. When the satul of veil yevin, you put them in front of their enemy. The shavim shoveim al eretz al yevin, their captives that are go to the land of their enemy. Arachoko kover, whether it's far or close. Yeshiva olivim ba'aretz v'shnish busham, and they do tshuva in the land that they have been captured. There shavim yitzchanu elach be'aretz shoveim, and they do tshuva and they pray to you in the land of their enemies. We've done evil things, right? They're imperfect people. If they do something wrong, the shovel and they do tshuva with all the heart and all their soul in the land of their enemies, or shovel some that had captured them, and they dive into you toward their land. They dive in toward your base of Mikdash. Then you should listen to their tefillah and everything they do, but you have to dive in toward the base of Mikdash. Don't dive in north, south, or west. Not a good idea. You should forgive your people that have sinned to you, the Kol Pishayim Asher Baruch Shemach, and all of their one-time sins that they have done for you. They should be given over for rachem in front of their enemies, and they should have mercy upon them. Because they are your people, they are your inheritance. You have taken out of Egypt from the smelting pot of iron. Right? The Jewish people were purified and strengthened in their suffering in front of Egypt. For your eyes to be open to their supplication, the supplication of your servants, the supplication of all of the Bnei Yisrael, to listen to them with, whenever they call out to you. You have separated them as your inheritance from all the people of the land. After he had finished this tefillah of Hashem, he got up from in front of the Mizbeach of Hashem from bending on his knees, the top of Prusa Shemayim with his hands bent up to the Shemayim. I just want you to try this, by the way. Try sitting on your knees with your hands up in the air for more than 5 minutes. It's impossible. But that's how every king had to daven. Every king had to be in perpetual bowing mode. That's how he had to daven. Usually, by the way, he was all the way down, like Arabs almost.
But it says Hashemayim.
This time he had his kapa prusos Hashemayim. This time he did. He was sitting on his knees toward the heavens. And now he got up and he blessed the people. There's possibly a third bracha, saying, Baruch Hashem Asher Nasa Menuch Olamo Yisrael, blessed Hashem who gave such rest to his people, Israel Kol Asher Diverlo Nafal Dover Echem Yichol Dovero. Now one thing fell from all of his good word, Asher Divivya Moshe Abdo, that he had spoken in the hands through Moshe his servant. May God be with us, like he was with our fathers. Ayazen may Chenu may not forsake us, nor may he get rid of us. Lachaz love, anyway love, to turn our hearts to him, Lachaz Bechol Dovero, to go in his ways, Lishmon V'Sav Kukav M'Shvat that he has commanded to all of his fathers. All of these words that I supplicate in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should be close to God. Because we should know that Hashem is God. There is no like him. This is the problem with this. I know we say this. When do we say this? When?
Right after Ashur, before Musa. We do, at least.
No, we don't. Dude, by Eli, sure, he's going to gosh.
Sure, they know the Shalom, they're waiting to move.
I don't know what it is. We don't have that.
Baruch Hashem, Hashem's on the front, and he's all the way to the
front. It's so funny, I don't know what it is. Plus, some of these. Maybe it might be in the Ethiopian, but yeah, it's possible. All of these are. Now, none of the Goyes saw Emos, Zobkum, Zevon, Hashem, they all brought Korbanos. Ladies, Vashlomo, Zevach, Hashem, Shazam, Hashem, Bakar, Esther, Rushnaim, Elephi, but 22,000 cattle. Mitzo, Mev, Esther, Mel, 120,000 sheep. Vayachnech, who was based on Hashem, Mel, Israel. They made a chinuch of the base of Israel. They consecrated the house of Hashem, the king of all the Israel. 120,000, awesome, right? No, cat, sheep. 22,000 cattle.
Oh, actually,
yeah. And that day, they sanctified the middle of the chatzar that was in front of the base of Hashem, meaning, they brought the olah, the mincha, the fats of the shlom in there, because the mizbech of the Hashem it was too small to be able to take all these animals. Okay. Big question what it means over here. It's possible that we're referring to the Mizbeach and Achoshes from the Mishkan, that the Mizbeach and Achoshes was too small to be able to bring up all these korbanos. Now, that definitely was true. However, Shlomo Melch made a much, much bigger Mizbeach for the Beis HaMikdash. The Mizbeach for the Beis HaMikdash was 32 by 32 amos, not including the Amma by Amma, or including the Amma by Amma for the Sovev and the Yesod, which was where the Kohanim went around to be able to put the stuff in. You had 30 by 30 amos of space of a fire that you could make, you know, to be able to put this cattle and the sheep in. Now, granted, 120,000 sheep and 22,000 cattle is a lot.
Were they olas or
olas, shlomim, or whatever it was? You're right. So it's possible that they didn't burn everything. They brought it all up there. But when it says that this was too small to have it, right? Sure, the old mizbeach was, but the new mizbeach, I don't think it was so small. Was it new?
142,000 animals.
So
even if they're just burning like
again,
the tail, and
you're 100% right. So it must be. Right, one answer is that we're referring to he only made the new Mizbeach because the old Mizbeach was too small, and that's what it means that he sanctified the area by making a brand new Mizbeach to be able to hold all these things. That's one answer. The other answer is that no, the Mizbeach also wasn't, so therefore they made the concept of the Azara where only the Kohanim could walk, and the reason why only the Kohanim could walk there is because even though you're supposed to be Makrif Korbanos on the Mizbeach and Echoshes, if there's not enough room for whatever reason is back in the Choshes, you're allowed to shech anywhere in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, and they sanctified the area of the Azara specifically for that purpose. There was also an Ezras Yisroel, Yud Aleph Amos by 185 Amos, in which the 135 Amos, in which the Israelim were able to stand, which you could not bring up the Korbanos, but here, they literally brought Korbanos throughout the entire Azara area, and that's what it refers to.
Just the actual slaughtering in the Azara?
No. Slaughtering could be done anywhere inside Shar Nicanor. That could be done anywhere inside Shar Nicanor, and even Yisrael could do it. But the actual Ding Makrid, in other words, the burning of the Korbanos, could be done anywhere in the Azara. And they had any place where they wanted to, they could go ahead and do that.
Outside of there, doesn't the Kabbalah and the Molach have to be inside the...
Oh, no. It's still in the Azara. Remember, Zbeach is in the Azara.
No, I know.
So it's in the Azara itself.
The Shita could be done outside the Azara. The coin is standing inside the Azara to do the Kabbalah and the Halakha.
Oh, the Shkita, yeah.
The
Shkita could be done in the Ezras Yisroel.
Right.
And the Kohen could stand in Yisroel to do the Kabbalah and then bring the Halakha in there. Yes, the Hakrava, though, had to be in the Azara. Hakrava had to be in the Azara itself. Yeah, but meaning now you could even use the Azara without the Mizbeach. You just use the actual floor of the Azara as well.
Spill it on the floor and then that
would... Not spill. They'd have to sprinkle the blood on top of the Mizbeach, but the actual hakrava, meaning the burning of the limbs, could be done in the Azara itself. Bonfires in the middle. Yeah, that's what it seems to say. That's number one. Number two, there was a massive miracle over here. The cattle, you know, it literally is the wording of the Pasuk. Pasuk Chaf, Samach Dalad, Bayamu Kiddush Melech as Tocha Chatzer. That's that. The other thing is that a huge miracle happened. The cattle that brought the boards of the Mishkan through the desert lived up until this moment, and they were the first korbanos brought. Pretty awesome, right? That's the Midrash over here.
I don't give him a hard time per se, but like when I would have wanted to say say no, you call me.
I still call it a cover. But yeah, Shlomo Ba'itzehi as a chug. At that time, Shlomo brought the chug. He celebrated Sukkot. The Chol Yisrael Imo called Gadol Milavo Chamas Ad Nachal Mitzrayim. All of Bnei Yisrael with him, from Levo Chamas, that's all the way up north, all the way down to Nachal Mitzrayim, the river of Egypt. Still funny, by the way, this past Shabbos, Rabbi Cohen said, oh, Nachal Mitzrayim is the southernmost border of what's it called? Where? Yeah, Levo Chamas. And he said, where is Nachal Mitzrayim? And everybody said, Nile River. And I was sitting all the way. Yes, I said, I was all the way in the back. And I was like, no, River of Egypt. In fact, there is an actual River of Egypt. Now, it is part. It still exists. It's just, it is part. It's part of the delta. When you get to the delta of the Nile River, right? And the maps, that's where it is.
I thought it was closer to like Gaza.
It's right near the Suez Canal. Where the Suez Canal is now, where the Red Sea is right there, and it goes up to the Mediterranean Sea, right there. Part of the Suez Canal is the part of the delta of the Nile River, which is known as the River of Egypt. Where exactly the historical River of Egypt was, we don't know exactly. But it was right around the area of Saudi Arabia, of the Sinai Peninsula, eastern Egypt, Gaza. Somewhere around there was the River of Egypt, and we don't know exactly what the border was. But that's the Nachal Mitzrayim, Lufnei Hashem, Elokeinu Shivas Yom, Shivas Yom, Arba Asar Yom. For 7 days, and then 7 days, 14 days at all. And 14 days in all. The Gemara says it includes Yom Kippur. Some say they ate and they drank on Yom Kippur and they were allowed to.
Didn't we say this when he started on Sukkot, though?
They did. The 7 days of the Chag is, we're about to say, the 8 days when he sent them home, that's Shmini Atzeres. The day after Shmini Atzeres.
Right. So where's Yom Kippur? So he started this whole party on
7 days and 7 days. So they started 7 days before Sukkot started. That's the 7 days and 7 days. So some say they went ahead and ate on Yom Kippur. Others say they didn't. It was just such a Chag, they didn't need to eat or drink on that day, because Yom Kippur is such a happy day to themselves. By Yom HaShmini, on the day of Shmini Atzeres, Shilach Zambay Yavorcho Zamelach, they sent away the he sent away the people, and they blessed the king, Mayokol Olayim, and they went back to their tents, Smechem V'tovi Leiv, happy and good of heart, Alkola Torosha Asa Shem L'David Almo, L'David Abdul Yisrael Almo, for all the good that had happened over here. Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara Bava Metzia, each man found his wife was waiting for him in purity, meaning they were not in Nida, they all conceived, and they were all blessed with sons.
After Mersina, right?
Yeah. They went back. Here, the fact that they were all conceived and they all were blessed with sons, I would assume that doesn't include the people who had just given birth or the people who had already been pregnant. I would assume those people didn't. But I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe that was what it was.
Well, like the old ladies.
Yeah, that would be impossible also. The woman who could conceive and gave birth to children. But the Gemara Bava Metzia doesn't differentiate. It seems to say everybody.
Pregnant.
So when Shlomo finished building the base of Mikdash, his base of Melech in the house of the king, you know, the palaces, his kol cheshek Shlomo sharchofitz lasos, and all the desires of Shlomo that he had desired to do. Notice, by the way, cheshek and chefetz. Cheshek is a spiritual desire. Chefetz is a physical desire. It's a very strange wording over here, but that is that's one of the reasons why you'll see the paper cheshek Shlomo.
Nowadays, physical desires.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Just the opposite?
Family cheshek. I have no energy. I don't want to hear it.
Choshka b'ni shchem b'dina achosam. Choshka b'ni is supposed to be a spiritual.
Now you say chafetz, right?
Yeah, chafetz. Interesting.
No, wait, that was by Achashverosh, the chafetz, right?
Chafetz b'karo?
Right. Or no, even by the
that's women. That's a melech chafetz b'karo.
No, but when the women came, didn't say the one that the...
That's called chafetza, yeah, chafetza, but whatever. By Yerah Hashem HaShom HaShenis Kasher Nira Labi Gibon. This was a second nebuah and the last nebuah that Hashem gave to Shlomo Melech, like he appeared to him in Gibon. That was the first time. And Hashem said to him, I heard your prayer, heard your supplication with me, that you have given in front of me. I have made this house holy, that you have built. That my name will be there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there all the days. In other words, wherever Bnei Yisrael are, as long as they're davening there, that's where the tefillahs will come up to Shrayim. Pasuk Dalet. If you go in the ways of David HaMelech and you do everything perfect the same way and you keep all the mitzvahs, I will keep the kisei of your malchus on Bnei Yisrael forever, or like I told David HaMelech your father, saying there will not be one man cut off from the kisei of Yisrael. If you guys go back from me and you don't keep my mitzvahs that I gave in front of you, you go and you serve other idols. You shall have some lemon, you bow down to them. The Echlat is only up in the Adam. I will cut off the Israel from the land. Shouldn't have the one that I've given them as a vice directory. And I will send away my house that I have made holy. I'll send it away from Yisrael, the Mashal, Lushini, Bechalamin. And the Israel will be treated as a Mashal, as a parable, and as a, what's a Shemina? How do you, a mockery in all the nations. This bayis hamikdash, this base of Israel, used to be most high. Anybody who passed by will stand there shocked and whistle. Why did God do this to this land and this base of Israel? Because they forsook God, Hashem their God. They took out their fathers from Eretz Yisrael. They grabbed onto other gods. They bowed down to the Yavdum. And they served now. And that's why all of these bad things happened for. In other words, said Hashem to Shlomo Melech, I gave you everything you davened for. I gave you everything you davened for. You asked me to treat them according to the way they need to be treated. Fine. So if you do good, then you'll get good. And if you do bad, then you'll get bad. That's what I can promise you when it comes to stuff like that. But you may say, Esrim Shana Shavana Shlomo Shnei Abatim as Beis Hashem as Beis Melech. Pasuk Yud. At the end of 20 years, after Shlomo Melech had built up the two houses, the Beis Hamikdash and the prince's house in the king's palace. Chir Melitzor Nisa es Shlomo Ba'atia Rosam Ba'atia Barushim Vazov L'Holchatzo. Chiram, the king of Tzur, had already provided Shlomo Melech with all the cedar wood and all the cypress wood and all the gold, everything he needed. Az Yitena Melech Shlomo L'Chiram Esrim Ir Ba'aretz Galil. So Shlomo Melech rewarded Chiram by giving him 20 cities in the land of the Galil. Beit HaChiram Yitzur Liros Z'arim Esher Nesel Lo Shlomo. Chiram, the king of Tzur, went to go see these cities that Shlomo Melech gave. V'lo Yashem Enav. He was like, eh.
He gave him a gift, and he's like, yeah, no.
He's like, that's okay, I guess. What are these cities that my brother gave to me? But you call them Eretz Kavul at Yom Hazeh. They were thus called the land of Kavul up until this day. Pasuk Yudalit. So Hiram sent the king 120 talents of gold. So clearly this is not as it is. Number one, what happened over here? Shlomo Melech sent him bad cities? That's number one. Number two, you're allowed to give cities of Eretz Israel to a non-Jew? Hiram is a non-Jew. You're allowed to give cities of Eretz Israel over to a non-Jew? So that's not it. He gave Hiram the fruits and the taxes of those cities for 20, you know, however long, those 20 cities, for however many years, in order to pay off what they needed for all those trees and everything like that. That's what he gave over to Hiram. Hiram looked at the cities and said, that's not enough. There's not enough fruit here to be able to take care of it. He just said, I don't think these cities are going to be enough to be able to take care of the amount of money that I spent on the cypress and everything that I gave you up until now. So there's no way that that's there. Shlomo Melech showed him, not only that, it is enough, and I'm going to show you how much it is. So he sent his own men there, and they worked it, and they gave all the fruits and everything over to Hiram, and it was way more than everything Hiram had, to the point where Hiram now owed money to the king. So Hiram gave 120 talents of gold over to the king for the surplus of fruits that he had given him for the amount of stuff that was over there. Good shot, huh?
How much of the talents?
I don't know. I wish we could figure out how much these talents are altogether, especially what it was at the time, but I don't know. There were other things over here. We're going to have this, so the Miamlois, all from the Miamlois. I will tell you, though, the land of Kabul either means it's muddy land, infertile land, or it was chained up, right? Chained up. In other words, it felt like there was nothing there. The last thing we're going to say over here is that the trade, there was more to this than just that. Hiram may have given this gold as the money for the trade that Shlomo Melech was doing. Hiram Elaksur owned all the Mediterranean Sea and all the trade routes in the Mediterranean Sea. Shlomo Melech at this time did not have any boats that were going to the Mediterranean Sea. So Shlomo Melech would give things over to Hiram for Hiram to sell in all the areas, the outlying areas, and Hiram would come back with the money that they had made for selling all that stuff. The money that they had made after selling all that stuff was 120 talents of gold. And that's what ended up being over here. And that could be the money that he ended up getting over here, and that the trade was something there. As we're going to see, there's going to be a lot of good stuff that Shlomo Melech did, that he didn't tax the people. He ended up making money in other very unique, ingenious ways, and that's that.